You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Still a lot of ground to cover here in tonight's third and final hour. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. Welcoming now the fourth host of the Cesspool, the fourth and final regular contributing co-host to the show, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, batting cleanup behind Keith and Winston tonight. And it is a rare occasion. I can't even remember the last time we actually had all four of us on in the same broadcast, and not to mention three guests, two of which have already appeared, Andy Nowicki and Ted Pike. You still have Mark the Economist. We thought his last week was last week, but his last week's actually this week. And he's done a great job, though, so we're looking forward to hearing from him later this hour. We still have a few things to cover before we welcome that last guest here with our last host of the night. But first, Eddie, I want to give you the opportunity to share your assessment and recollection in the same spirit that Keith and I did, at the first of the show. You were with us, I guess it was yesterday, when two friends of the program from Missouri came in, and they had shared with me that they really wanted to meet both you and Keith. After having listened to this show for so many years, to finally meet y'all would be a great thrill for them. So we arranged that, and I'll let you tell the rest of the story very quickly.
Well, James, when you called me to tell me that, I immediately dropped what I was doing. I did things we talked about in the military. I'll end with shaving and in 5 minutes, and I was at your doorstep probably in 15 minutes because I was so flattered, and I felt duty-bound to see these people who came that traveled that far just to see us, and to this day, I can't figure out why they wanted to see yours truly. Because I admired them more than they admire me. As a matter of fact, I promised the lady that was with them that I would try to clean up my language even better. I'm doing better since I became a Christian of cleaning up my language. I have a reputation here in the cesspool being the saltier of the salties, guys, I guess. But I gave the lady the promise that I would try to clean up my language, and that's what I'm going to do. These people were really... I know the salty of the earth, we use that term a lot here, but it's true. These people, the salty of the earth, hardcore, sincere Christians, they have four children. They have one on the way. They homeschool. They home church. They're very, very devout citizens of the United States. I couldn't say enough about them. And I was very humbled by the way they showered praise on me. And I had to hug them both, and as my custom with the younger ladies, I kissed her on the forehead, kissed her on the head. Believe it or not, I do love women. I have in a fatherly, grandfatherly way. Matter of fact, outside of the cesspool guys here in Memphis, my very best friends in the world, except for a guy over in Alabama who I won't use his name, they're women. You know, I'm a registered nurse, and I've worked with women all my life. Before that, I worked in a hospital in the laboratory. There's a lot of women there. But I greatly admire women. But these people, James, I just couldn't say enough about them. And I would use their names, but I'm sure they wouldn't want their names plastered over the air. But, that was really flattering. And to show you how moved I was, I actually ate out with you guys because you people probably know I stay in training year-round. I'm getting ready to run my fourth marathon. That'll be four marathons I will have run in a 16-month time span. And I'll be 67 years old April the 6th, so that's pretty tough. So I'm constantly in training. But I went to eat with the guys. I usually pretty well, I mix my own stuff at home, like you'd feed a racehorse or a heavyweight champion. I have to stay in training year-round for these marathons. But, yeah, I salute those people. I feel inferior to them, James. I hope I can become as good a Christian as they are someday.
And, again, it's just par for the course for the political cesspool audience to be excellent. The people we've met are all, you know, all American just doesn't begin to cover it. And I know we lavished, our assessment in the first segment of the first hour. But I wanted to give Eddie the opportunity to do that as well, because I know he appreciated the visit as much as they did and certainly as much as Keith and I did. And it was just a great day all the way around. It felt like family. It was family. And that's what our audience is to us. It's family. And so we love them and we love y'all. And one of the things they asked you about, Eddie, one of the things they wanted to talk to you about was to hear some stories about your experiences in Vietnam. And from that, we drew contrast with the modern-day Army. Of course, as everyone knows, Eddie served two tours of duty in Vietnam. He was a combat medic before his career in nursing blossomed. And, Eddie, we were talking, I think, last week after I had dinner with Keith and you. We came back here to my house, and we were looking at a couple of stories related to the modern-day Army, one of which was one that Keith and I covered last week. It was about these two insolent black females who were just disgraces, I mean, and despicable. One was basically doing a sexual act with the silhouette on the POW MIA logo. The other took a picture of herself in a car and posted it to her Facebook page saying, "This is me hiding so I don't have to salute the flag. If you think that's disrespectful, I don't give a you know what." Starts with an F, ends with a K. And then from there we went to where they have battle-hardened men. You were sharing with me some stories that you had in basic training, you know, the treatment you received from your drill sergeant, which really mirrored that which was depicted in the movie Full Metal Jacket. You said that was a pretty fair, it was at least that bad, Eddie told me. And now in today's Army, they make the men wear pregnancy bellies. They call them empathy bellies so that the men will know what women feel like when they go through basic training, what pregnant women feel like. And first of all, what kind of a perverted, degenerate country sends its women, its mothers, the females whose womb give birth to a civilization, who sends them to basic training with a bunch of grunts? Who sends its women, its pregnant women, into basic training to PT? Well, of course, there wasn't much physical training going on because how much can a pregnant woman do? So that's how much the men were doing. And you watch these slovenly fat men prance around and laugh as they wore the pregnancy bellies. And then there was this transgendered troops, Eddie, have performed in drag at an Air Force fundraiser. This was at Kadena Air Force Base in Okinawa. So if pregnant soldiers and insolent diversities aren't enough for you folks, try this one on for size. Since the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, U.S. military bases have hosted, and I'm reading from the story here, gay marriage ceremonies and potluck gatherings. But on Sunday, service members may have been the first to take the stage and perform as drag queens on a military installation in support of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender troops. And we have a video here. It was posted on March the 14th, so yesterday, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. The title of it is Sodomite Lesbian Troops Perform in Drag at Air Force Fundraiser. So not only are they allowed to serve and to pervert what was historically one of the greatest institutions that we had. I mean, the United States military for a long time was something to be honored. And so this is supposed to be the Army now, Eddie. Black females who won't salute the flag, men prancing around pretending to do PT in pregnancy bellies, and then you see this. I mean, anatomically speaking, he's a man, but he's wearing lipstick and he's in a dress. He's performing in drag because he identifies as a transgender, and this is our Army. It's beyond disgusting. Everyone knows it. Even the perverts themselves. They can pretend that this behavior is decent and healthy, but it never will be in God's eyes or in the eyes of any normal person. So we're going to toss it back to Eddie after this break and let him compare and contrast today's military using those examples with the experiences that he went through when the Army was still halfway a real Army. We'll talk about it.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about?" Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again And oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, we opened up the top of this hour talking about letting Eddie share with you his take on the experience we shared with friends of the show who had visited us yesterday. Longtime listeners, longtime financial contributors to the show. And one of the things that they asked about was Eddie's experiences in Vietnam, and I use that as the springboard into this topic where we're looking at the modern army, what passes as the American army these days. You've got these insolent, spiteful people who won't salute the flag. I mean, diversities, of course, and maybe there's some white people that do it too, and they're equally contemptible as far as I'm concerned. If you're going to go into the army, I mean, I have a problem with the way American military is used. I certainly have a problem with this government. I love what this country used to stand for, what it stood for at its essence, and I love the people of the country, the founding people. But the modern army, you've got that kind of stuff. Don't salute the flag. If you criticize them, you're a racist. The men have to wear pregnancy bellies because, we need to know what a pregnant woman feels like when she's in battle. And now the sodomite fundraiser in Okinawa, of all places, one of the sergeants there on the base said this was a great advancement for civil rights in the army. Everything is just accepted in the army now. It makes me really proud. We're all brothers and sisters no matter what. So, Eddie, you served in Vietnam, combat medic, a real war, a ground war. These people we're talking about, the men wearing the pregnancy bellies, the women that won't salute the flag, these drag queens, transvestites, how long do they last in a real war? What would have been their experience in Vietnam and real basic training that still existed back in the 60s?
Well, let me open up by just telling you just a short history about Okinawa, James. Everybody knows about Iwo Jima. A lot of people don't know about Okinawa. Okinawa was worse than Iwo Jima, believe it or not. God only knows how many soldiers and Marines and airmen died in Okinawa trying to take that island. That was one of the hardest fights of the war. Matter of fact, Admiral Nimitz was having second thoughts about invading the island of Japan because Okinawa was so costly. These people are sitting over there spitting on the graves of the dead soldiers and Marines over there
and even the honorable Japanese who fought for their country, you know, they fought for their country like we fought for ours, is a total disgrace of all places, on a place like Okinawa. Let me tell you a little bit about my experience. These people, James, they would never made it out of Fort Polk. They would never even got within 10,000 miles of Vietnam, because I'll tell you what. Now, I'm not saying I did it. I was a plain, basic grunt trainee, just like everybody else was a plain, basic grunt trainee in Fort Polk, Louisiana. Our drill sergeants cross-trained with the Marines at Parris Island. The chief, Art Frith, can testify about it. He did some cross-training, I believe. He was in the Navy. He was at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. There's some inter-service cross-training. Our Marines, our DIs in the Army, they were extremely tough. We had some of them that were too tough. They were sadistic. But I tell you what, if you got 1 inch out of line, they would beat your head into the ground. They weren't supposed to do it, but they did. And I'm going to tell you what, I saw this myself, and everybody knew it. If you got too far out of line and you're too much of a tough nut, and they had to spend too much of valuable time trying to train your knucklehead tail to keep from getting killed in Vietnam, you know what they would do? You would be disappeared. You would just, all of a sudden, your bunk would be empty the next day, and there was no questions asked. And if you had any smarts at all, you never mentioned that person, because you would know what happened to that person. Their mothers and dad would never know what happened, but they're probably in the middle of the Kisatchie National Forest to this day as fertilizer, because that, I mean, that's the real world, people. It probably wouldn't have, you know, that doesn't make the news, but it happened. And I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to tell them, James, before the show, back in those days, I did salute the flag. You know, I swore an oath. I did not want to get drafted. I did not join. I was drafted, but I did do my time as honorably as I could. And I did respect the flag in those days. But I would like to contrast our so-called honorable military with the military that we're spitting on over in Russia right now. Look at what we have here in our military. We have these open sodomites parading around on sacred ground, a blood-soaked sacred ground, an Okinawa, that these people, they couldn't carry the dirty socks of the Marines and GIs that died defending that, taking that island from the Japanese. They could not do that. They wouldn't be the scab on their hind end. These people are disgraced. They're satanic. You know, and we're supposed to be saluting the wonderful American flag and saying, I support the troops. I've got friends in church that put this crap on Facebook all the time. If you support the troops like this, well, no, I don't. I support the honorable troops that are in there that are still brain dead enough to think that they're actually defending their country instead of the international Zionist bankers. But look what we got. We got homosexuals in here, and God knows what else. They call themselves transites, what else? I call them demons. And over here in Russia, we have people, they're actually putting the homosexuals in their place. They're not burning them in the ovens. They're not putting them in prison. But they're saying, you cannot go in our schools. You cannot touch our young people. You cannot take out advertising space in the newspapers and televisions to promote your deviant, satanic lifestyle. That's what's going on in Russia. Over here, we're glorifying these people, these demons, on open air, on the airways and newspapers, and they're trying to cram this crap down our throat. Well, I'm going to tell you what. It will be a cold, cold, cold day in hell before I salute that flag again. And you know what? I may go to jail the next tonight, but you know what? If I could, if all war breaks out, I'm going to fight on the Christian side. I would not fight in the stinking, corrupt, satanic military we have in this country right here, right now. I would die. I would bleed for my white Christian brothers in Russia before I would for these stinking people here in this country right here, because the people in Russia are the last vast reservoir of white people in this nation, and they're turning over. They're having a Christian revival revolution up there, so to speak. Believe it or not, they are. Look at what we've got going on over here. We're worshiping Satan. I tell you what, people, we're 10 years away from passing our children through the fire like the Israelites themselves did with the Canaanites. They burn their children alive, sacrificing them to the god of Molech. The Israelites did that, you know, and so that we're 10 years away from that, for that far, and 10 years away from having sex with animals like the Israelites and the Canaanites did. And I'm gonna pass this over to James right now.
Well, it's akin to the God of Bell, and you know, you qualified your statement a little bit more clearly when we were sharing it with our friends who had asked you about your military experience. I mean, no one can doubt Eddie's patriotism. He served two tours of duty as a combat medic in Vietnam. You said you would never fire a shot at an American serviceman, but that you would feel almost obligated to, as a Christian, to offer your services as a nurse to injured Christians, as opposed to these people we're talking about, and that makes sense to me. And you're right, you know, all of these, a lot of the Christians now are saying, you know, we gotta stand up against Russia, we gotta salute troops. Well, what troops are you talking about? Eddie said, yeah, all the troops that are worthy of praise, let's support them. But here in Russia, Russian President Vladimir Putin condemned the West, including the United States, for eschewing Christian values and opting instead for a path to degradation. In his State of the Nation speech last month, Putin asserted that many Euro-Atlantic countries have moved away from their roots, including Christian values. Police are being pursued that place on the same level. Or excuse me, policies are being pursued in America on the same level as a multi-child family and a faith in God. They value a same-sex partnership and a belief in Satan. That's what Putin said here in America. Russia has adopted, of course, new laws that ban homosexual propaganda and criminalizes the insulting of Christian sensibilities. The law on religious sensibilities was approved in the wake of protest in Moscow's largest cathedral by a female punk rock group. You know their name. State-run Russian television said the group's demonic protest was funded by Americans. And I have a video here about Putin. You will find a video collection containing interview clips during which Putin discusses his Orthodox Christian faith. He talks about his baptism, the cross he wears, traditional families, and more. It's all there. Could he be saying it because it's the Russian people wants to hear? Sure. Can you find things he said about multiculturalism that we disagree with? Sure. But he produces more fruits that I can relate to than Obama. He's not perfect, but given a choice between the two, who would you want as your head of state? That's what I ask. We got to take a break.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture.
Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, as promised, four hosts, three guests tonight. We're going to wrap up the show in grand fashion with Mark the Economist, who has been with us, I guess, for the last 3 weeks now. He's going to wrap up his series this evening. We had intended to perhaps do so last week, but we got him late, so we're thankful to have him back for one more installment. But before we get to Mark, I know Eddie wants to quickly clarify, offer a clarification on his comments, and we will get to that. But by the way, we will probably have an update on Russia next week. It appears as though the residents of the Crimea area will be voting on secession on Sunday, so tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a little disclaimer there. Like James mentioned before, I was a medic in the Army. Once I left Fort Polk, Louisiana, it was basic soldier training. I never fired a weapon once I left there. I went to Fort Sam Houston, Texas, which is where they train the combat medics, and they had the nurses, the doctors, et cetera. And then later on, we went to Camp Bullis to do our further medic training. I served as a medic. I didn't inflict wounds. I tried to heal wounds. If I could go to the Soviet Union, not the Soviet Union, if I could go to Russia and help those people, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But I would do that in healing wounds and trying to save lives. I wouldn't fire on American troops. That's for sure. But I would volunteer my services in as a Christian. Yep, that's right. As a Christian man, because I'll tell you what, I'm one hell of a good medic. I'm a registered nurse. I was good at my trade, and that's what I would do. But as far as firing at American troops, no, I wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I probably get shot, but so be it. Well, anyway, I'd like to welcome Mark back on. I want to make that little disclaimer before we welcome Mark back on the show tonight. And we're going to kind of wrap this show up tonight, I guess. But I would like to make it clear that I would like to do this series again and in the not too distant future, maybe 3 to 4 months, for people that didn't get to sit in. And hopefully I can organize the show better. I feel like this show would have been a lot better, this series, if I had not have been involved. I feel like if Mark could have been the one guiding the thing from day one, it would have been much better. But I'm kind of a greenhorn at this. I'm just, you know, a layman in economics. But we want to do this show again in the not too distant future if we can entice Mark to come back home. Mark, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, I'm fine, sir. How you doing?
I'm just doing wonderful. I guess, Mark, this will probably be our last hoorah for a while, but like I said, I want to do this series again if we can get you back on. And also, I would like to get you on. You feel free to call me anytime with updates, with critical news bleeps that come out in, you know, about economics. So if you think like the dollar's getting ready to crash, anything that you think is worthy, we can get you on the show. You sent me an outline earlier, Mark, and early in the week. And one thing that really... we've got a lot of ground to cover fast. We probably can't get to this. We've talked about a lot of the problems with having the central bankers control our economic system, controlling our currency with the fiat money. And I know you and I both agree we should go back to a gold standard. One thing you on the outline you sent that really, really got my interest is you said one solution to get us back on ground was to renounce our debt, bankruptcy. This was, as a matter of fact, you said tell the Fed to deal with this, with the debt, because it's not our debt, to cancel the $2 trillion in debt we have overnight. I think that's what they did in Iceland. Mark, if you could take off on that, expound on that right there. That's one of the things you sent me in the outline that we could talk about tonight.
Yeah, basically the Federal Reserve, they mask their actions in as much complexity as they possibly can. But to break it down in like simple terms, basically our government wants to borrow money and the Fed prints them money, all the money that they want. And that's kind of like the deal that they've had since 1913. And one of the reasons why the world's central governments are so in favor of like fiat banking and central banking in itself. You know, it's been that way ever since, you know, England back in the, 16th, 17th century, 18th century. But so basically, you think about it, there's like a bunch of guys, they're sitting in an office, and they get on the computer, and they create, you know, trillions of dollars, literally trillions of dollars. And, you know, what did these people do to earn that money? They sat at a computer, they've got like a legalized ability to counterfeit money that's been granted to them by the United States Congress, and that's what they do. They print money for the Congress, and that's kind of like Congress's payoff for allowing them to do that. And, of course, they're like taking care of Wall Street at the same time. Basically, if the Congress, the government had, you know, if they wanted to, they could just tell the Federal Reserve, we're not going to pay that $2 trillion that we owe you. Sorry. You know, and just relinquish the debt. So that would take like $2 trillion off our national debt. I think it's like $17 trillion now. I'd drop it down to 15. It's still pretty serious, but, you know, $2 trillion would certainly help out.
Well, you know, the remaining $15 trillion, I wonder how much of that debt is really belongs to we, the people of the United States, and how much of that debt has been run up by the international bankers. And, Mark, I'm sure you'll know a lot more about this than I do. But a similar situation, I believe it's a similar situation. Iceland found themselves in a situation where these international offshore bankers doing all kinds of shenanigans with their fiat currency, taking these long shot risk casino type investment bets and then charging it to the good people, the taxpayers of Iceland. And it's my understanding that the people of Iceland, their government, they actually jailed some of these bankers and have renounced the debt. And it's my understanding, Mark, that the majority of the debt there in Iceland did not even belong to the people. It belonged to the bankers. And is that not the pretty much the same thing we got going on here, Mark? Am I right? Am I right or am I wrong? Is the majority of this debt that you just mentioned, the $15 trillion that's left over, is that not, I mean, come on. I mean, I didn't get to spend any of that money. I know you didn't. I mean, who ran that debt up?
Well, you know, obviously our government did. Some of it's like internal, some of it's external. What I mean by like internal, that's like Social Security IOUs, government owing different government agencies money. A lot of it is external. I get the exact number here in just a second, but,
you're right.
Yeah. The debt, like China, they owe like $1.1 trillion to China. And, basically we're at the point now, as far as our financial stability, there's like four ways we can go. And I sent you this in the email.
Correct.
Number one is bankruptcy. And that's just like, you know, they call it like in business, they call it taking a haircut or whatever. But basically the United States government's saying, we can't afford this $17 trillion. We're going to pay you 50 cents on the dollar. We're going to pay you 25 cents on the dollar. We're going to go bankrupt. And we've done that before in our history. You know, we defaulted on, you ever see like those pictures of like the World War One bonds, Uncle Sam wants you, buy a war bond, the World War One bonds, you see them like on textbooks all the time.
Yeah, but I was a sucker, Mark. I used to buy savings bonds when I was in my late teens and early 20s. What a sucker I was, man. But proceed. Oh, you know, by the way, Mark, one of our guys said, and I think he's right, that the unfunded liabilities in this country right here would probably place the debt closer to $100 trillion. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, $100, $110 trillion, yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's just
way out. $110. Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
he's in the ballpark.
You know, there's just no way on earth we could. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But yeah, it's just like out of control. And you know, the people in Congress know it. And they know it's just like a matter of time before things change. And when they change, they're going to change fast. But you got bankruptcy. I think that's like the best choice, austerity, the real kind. War, you know, politicians, when they get in this pickle, they love going to war. And then last but not least is inflation, like Germany in the 1920s, and then also Venezuela, what Venezuela is experiencing right now today, and Argentina.
Well, you know, you mentioned Germany. We talked about that before, and it's also true. You know, the Germans were backed into a corner. They had no way out to try to pay that the debt that the Allies imposed on them after the end of the war at the Versailles Treaty. And there was just no way on earth that the Germans could pay the money. They stripped Germany of, you know, their machinery. They were actually taking their coal. You know, as Germany, for a lot of people knows, they depend on coal to heat their homes in the winter. And believe you me, they have some cold winters over there. And the Allies were actually taking payment out of their natural, what few natural resources Germans had. It was a miserable mess. But, you know, Mark, if we could, since we're coming to the end of the series, how could we go about abolishing the Federal Reserve? If we could abolish the Federal Reserve, I don't know exactly how we would go about that, how long it would take, but if we could go back to an honest money that you and I have talked about before, gold and silver, do you have any specific mechanisms how would we go about doing that, Mark?
The banking system is a cartel, and the way you break up cartels is you get some people who have been really, really hurt, maybe on the fringes, companies or so
Mark,
forth.
Hey, hang on, Mark. We got to take a break. We're coming to a first commercial. We'll come right back, people. When we get through, we're going to bring Mark right back on. We certainly appreciate him being on tonight. See you after
the
break.
Okay, not a problem.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
It's March into savings time at veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save serious greenbacks before St. Patrick's Day? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans, meats, entrees, and vegetables are now 20% off only at freezedryguy.com. These are long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness food storage with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life. These are easy foods for your camping, hunting, backpacking, and sailing adventures. These are delicious, nutritious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness. And they're all now 20% off only at freezedryguy.com. This Mountain House food discount cannot be applied to other items currently on sale. But as always, you get free shipping from the Freeze Dry Guy within the lower 48 states. For more information, call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. March into savings, 20% off, now through Sunday, March 16th, only at freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more time, I want you to say.
Good evening again, people. This is Eddie DeBombardier Miller here back with you. We've had an exciting show. I tell you what, it's surely an honor and privilege to be in this show right here with some of the people I love greatly in the world. I tell you what, I would die for James Edwards and all the other people in Cesspool, Keith and Winston and Sam. And I mean, you just have no idea of the brotherhood we have. And people, you have no idea. I could talk to you a month, for a solid month, about the crap we have to put up with to stay on this show, about the attacks we get constantly. I mean, the IRS, it's just they never get off our backs. It's, you know, the SPLC, the news, it's just a never-ending attack by the demonic force in this country. And you know what? That gets me down sometimes, but I'm going to tell you what, I spit in their eye. It'd be a cold day in hell before they get us off the show unless they just shoot us or something. But anyway, I didn't mean to get off the deep end there too bad. We're going back with our honored guest tonight, Mark Thompson, who can think circles around me. And Mark, I think before the break we went back, we were talking about getting the way we could get away from the Federal Reserve. You know, some people say it'd be hard to do overnight. It would throw the country into a train wreck. But we were talking in the middle of me and Sam, James, talking in the break, talking about creating a competing currency, a competing cartel, so to speak, with the Federal Reserve. And me and Sam were talking about that's pretty much what JFK tried to do back in 62, 63 when he printed, if I'm not mistaken, he printed up silver certificates. He did an audit on the silver in Fort Knox and the other, you know, Federal Reserve banks and found out how much silver there was. And he ordered silver certificates to be printed up, which could be cashed in for, I think you call it specie, if I remember, Mark. They could cash these dollars in, these notes in for silver. They were backed by silver. Well, we all know what happened to JFK, and I will always believe that's one of the big things that got him killed. But I'm going to toss that back over to you, Mark, and see what you think about that. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, how can we get – what's the solution to getting this country back away from the central bankers, get the currency, get the money back into the hands of we the people? What can we do, Mark?
Well, globally, we're on pretty much like the whole world's on a fiat system. And some of the countries are getting really, really hurt by it, Venezuela being one, Argentina. They're really getting damaged. Like if you go to Venezuela and you try to buy like a Big Mac, it's like 30, 40 bucks now, probably 40 bucks by now. It's 31 last time I checked. So these people are literally starving to death. And, you know, when the pain gets so intense, if we could just, like, educate enough of these people, some of the people not in government, because obviously government's going to support, like, the system the way it is now, but enough people to get some of these countries to break away and go back to silver down there. They always had, like, the Spanish silver dollar south of the border. They use silver instead of gold. But to break away from this cartel and go back to, like, real money, hard money, that's how you break up a cartel. It doesn't just like happen like all of a sudden our politicians in Washington become enlightened, because they're not. You know, as long as the Federal Reserve exists, they're going to control what they want to control in Washington. They're never going to like have their cartel revoked by Washington politicians. It's not going to happen. And what's going to happen is like maybe China and Russia go to a gold standard, but I wouldn't count on that either. But if some of these smaller countries who are getting very, very hurt by this fiat system, these people are literally starving to death. If they get enough willpower and enough education to where the people of those countries understand what's going on and they decide to go back to silver, everybody looks around and say, look, they don't have any inflation anymore in Venezuela or Argentina or, you know, wherever. Other countries are going to want to emulate that. Other countries with inflation problems are going to want to emulate that. And if you get, like, enough people breaking away from, like, this system that we have now, going back to real hard money, that's how you break up a cartel. Sooner or later, you know, people all over the world are going to see what's happening over there, and they're going to demand hard money, real silver, real gold.
Well, Mark, this country right here, you mentioned yourself, and I totally 100% agree. The Washington establishment are never going to get away from the Federal Reserve. For one thing, they're bought, their mind, body, and soul. They're owned by the international bankers. As you know, there's, as a matter of fact, we could go into how illegal the Fed is because, you know, there was there's been volumes written on the illegality of how the so-called amendment was never passed. In fact, there's a whole book. I think the title of the book is The Amendment That Never Was. These people, you know, they get their life's blood. You know, money's the mother's milk of politics. The bankers, they own these people. So you're right, Mark. We could never get D.C., the establishment, probably couldn't even get the states to cooperate. Is there any way that we, the people, and Mark, I think this would be a great topic for a future show for you and I to do, maybe one or two shows on maybe getting a, we talked about state banks earlier in a previous show. I would prefer, you correct me if I'm wrong, to have banks controlled by maybe a de facto state bank owned by, controlled by we, the people. I would, because, you know, the interest that the generated by the banks, if they were controlled by the people, would go back into the people. If we had private people running private banks, even if they were, say, state banks, totally free from the feds, would that work? How would we do that? And Mark, we got time. I hate to say we got 2 minutes to wrap this program up. So take off on what I said right there, Mark.
Well, I think you'd run into the same hazards with a state bank as you would like a Federal Reserve. In my opinion, the best system is just simply to tell private banks you print your own money, but you back it 100% by gold or silver. And you have what they call 100% fractional reserve banking, where it's like up to the depositor if you lend their money out or not. Now, if you decide to not lend your money out, your gold or your silver, then you have to pay the bank a fee. You know, that's fair. But if you choose, okay, you can use 50% of my money or 100, what that does is that shifts the power away from the government, away from a central bank, even a state bank, and to the people. And when the people control the money supply, government listens to the people, not the bank. And you eliminate almost all the corruption that you have now when you return that power back to the people. And so what you want is private banks, like let's say, you know, in my town, like SunTrust or whatever, if they had like $100 million worth of gold, then they could issue $100 million worth of paper currency backed by that gold. It's that simple. And with debit and credit cards that we have today, it would be much, much, much more simpler for these banks to, like, go into that operating mode than it was, you know. I mean, you know, they did it 200-300 years ago. It was obviously a lot more difficult back then because you had a lot more transportation costs. So, you know, don't let anybody tell you that they can't do it. You know, they could do it. They could, like, flip that switch overnight. It wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Mark, that's one of the most brilliant things I've heard. I never even thought about that. You answered by that explanation, you answered by credit, one of my questions. We, the people, putting our money into these banks, investing in it, we could say, okay, like you said, we could loan out 50% of our money, but we want to maintain 50% in the bank. We the people, will be drawing interest off that money. We would be making as much profit as the private bank probably on interest off of our money. If we want to loan the money out, there's other mechanisms. That's brilliant, Mark. I really appreciate that. Listen, if I would like to go, I would before the we have Confederate History Week coming up Confederate History Month coming up in April. I would like to get you back on the air if you want to do a little additional studying. Sounds like you don't need to. I would like to get you back on and delve further into this state bank idea you have, and maybe get some callers to call in with some further ideas. I think you'll agree with me. We have got to break the power of the international banks. And it looks like we're just about to run out of time here. Mark, let me thank you at the bottom of my heart. Please stay in contact with me. I'll stay in contact with you. We need to get you on the air like I said earlier, for like news bleeps and things like that. And we'd like to do another series with you if you feel like you're up, if you'd like to do that. And I'm going to pass it over to James because we're just about to run out of time. Good night, Mark. Thank you very much for coming on here. You've really honored our show. You've been a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, with that being said, and I would like to thank Mark as well for contributing to 3 or 4 shows consecutively here with his insights on the economy, an issue that affects us all, but one we don't typically talk about as much as perhaps we should here on the Political Cesspool Radio program. Folks, on behalf of Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, Peter Scoop Stanton, and all of our guests this evening, Reverend Ted Pike, got to try to remember them all, Andy Nowicki, and then, of course, Mark, I'm James Edwards for the crew in Utah, Sam Bushman and his team. God bless you. I sign off about a minute early because Eddie the Bombardier Miller feels has shared with me that he feels led by God to conclude tonight's show with a prayer, and far be it from me to deny Eddie his calling. So from his heart to all of yours, if you would so indulge him, I'm happy he's doing this.
People, I would like to ask you, if you will, to join me in prayer. We have 1 minute. Listen, we have been the recipient of divine intervention on this show this very week, saving our tails. I would like to thank you, Father God, for the protection that you've given us here in the political cesspool and for Sam at the Liberty Roundtable and all his family and all of our family. Lord, I would like to ask you to look over us, continually look over us. Let this show, both our shows continue to serve you. Let us serve you in the best way we possibly can, Lord. Please protect us and all of our listeners against all the wiles of Satan. I ask all this in Jesus' name, my Lord. Amen.
Amen, everybody. Good night. God bless you. We'll see you next Saturday here on the Political Cesspool.